lucky here in the state of Utah with the trainers that we have for all of our courses here. We have some of the best trainers in America. Trust me, I've traveled to the United States, and I've seen some trainings, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is killing me to sit through this boring class. But we have exciting, fun, energetic trainers that make the classes come alive. So take full advantage of that. And ladies and gentlemen, my part of the presentation is done. We're now going to get into what you really came here for. Give it up for our good friend, Mr. Chris Hughes. All right. Everybody good? We're allowed to retire when? Whenever you're prepared. But you know the bad news about retirement? What happens when people sit on the lazy boy and watch Price is Right? They die. They get sick. The body was not intended to sit in a lazy boy. Can we turn off the B? Impressive. All right. So, retirement. Retirement. We talk about this a lot, and what we don't talk about in our society, we talk about it in a, like the United States is the land of the free. The land of the free. What does that mean in that context? Anybody want to try that? The land of the free. Right, right. So we have a constitution. I'm going to avoid comment. You'll see that? That was incredible discipline, wasn't it? In that context, we talk about freedom. We talk about the freest country on earth, and I'm a proud American. I believe in American exceptionalism. But what we don't talk about, you know, in this context of our working life, we talk lots about retirement, but we never talk about freedom. Isn't that interesting? You ever thought about that? Like, what do I mean by freedom? What I mean by freedom is you don't have to go to a job or a business or anywhere. You're literally free. You don't owe anything to a government, a bank, an institution, a corporation. You're free. You're totally free. And yet all of our lives, we have our eye on the wrong ball. We're not thinking about freedom in our health. We don't think about health freedom. We don't think about being healthy. And when I'm 65, I want to be able to be vigorous and travel the world and not have to drag a bottle of oxygen. Right? I don't want to be able to get out and about and enjoy this. We don't think about freedom like this. Why? Because we're just focused on retirement. And we don't think about money, freedom, because we're just focused on retirement. You know, we just want to get out of that job, get out of that corporation. We certainly aren't concerned with mind freedom, and part of what I'm doing today is an exercise in liberating our thoughts and changing our beliefs and our philosophies. We aren't concerned with mind freedom. What does that even mean? Anybody want to take a shot at that? What does that mean to be free in your mind? Thank you. Not controlled by society, by societal norms, by cultural dictates, by the mainstream, fake stream, lame stream media, by a government. I think about the propaganda that I've experienced in my own life. As a young child in public schools, I'll never forget the big posters that were all over the place and in all the teachers' rooms with the food pyramid. Y'all remember that? See, when you follow the government's dictate about what to eat and what not to eat, you get fat and cancer. Because, you see, we don't have the food pyramid in all the classrooms anymore. Why? Because it was making us sick. Because they were wrong. And yet we listened to them. We let them tell us about health. We let their organizations tell us what is healthy and what is not healthy. That's what I mean by mind freedom. And nobody thinks like this. Very rarely do you find people that are concerned with mind freedom, with breaking free of common consciousness and societal hypnosis. Like, we don't, that all sounds weird to people. What sounds normal is turn on the news. That sounds normal. You got to watch the news. Somebody said, you don't watch the news? I go, no, I don't watch the news. They go, well, like, what about current events? I'm like, that downward current, you know? Like, why would I want to know about the rape and the murder and the... I'm like, look, if we're at war, like if there's major news, we go to war, somebody will tell me. You know, somebody will, you know, did you hear? It's like, it's kind of dumb. So, mind freedom, time freedom. You know, we look forward to retirement when we're 65. Is it available? Is time freedom available to you 10 years earlier, 55? Yes or no? Yeah. See, we're on this road from 0 to 65, but there's a lot of years in between when we start working in the age of 65. And time freedom is available at any point on the ladder. It's like, you know, some people go, we need to have a, you know, $15 minimum wage. We got to have it. We got to have it. We got to have it. I love what Jim Rohn says. What is minimum wage today? Does anybody know? I don't even know. It's been a while. Okay, let's call it what? $7.25. Why would we need to take to the streets and demand $15 an hour when $15 an hour is already on the ladder? Everybody with me? That's Jim Rohn. Don't get mad at me. I'm not going political. Jim Rohn said that. Who's the mentor to many of us. He said, $7.25, this is for people with no skills. And if you expect to be a person with no skills your whole life, well, then maybe we do need a $15 an hour minimum wage for you. But that's not the idea. The idea is not to stay at the bottom of the ladder. The idea is to, if you'll, as Jim says, if you'll just whistle while you work, they'll pay you $8 an hour. Just smile, and they'll pay you $8 an hour. Why would we need to mandate 15 when 15 is already on the ladder? 55, time freedom at 55 or 45 or 35, it's already on the ladder. But nobody's looking for it. Why? Because they have got us focused on retirement. Isn't that interesting? I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I am, you know, a bit of a realist, is what it is. One of my mentors said, you might as well start with the truth because you're going to wind up with it. I like that. So retirement. And I'm not going to get into all this, but I just think it's interesting. Do you know, what do we call people who work for another person's company today? What do we call those people? Okay, we call them employees. And isn't it interesting that we have, there are some companies that call them a little different name because it like sounds more unified, more kind of lovey-dovey, we're all, anybody? Okay, team members, associates, right? Isn't that, it's like employees. What's an employee, what's, if you shorten that word, what is it? You know, that doesn't sound good. So it's like team member, your associate. Do you know what they called them? So slavery was abolished. And so over here we have slavery, and then the Emancipation Proclamation occurred. And over here, slavery is outlawed. But here we called our imps. Do you know what we called them? No, that's what they're called today, or really more like temps. Employees post-slave era were called wage slaves. That was what we called them in our society. And it wasn't until the turn of the 19th century when the labor union said, that's a little harsh. Let's soften that up because it's too obvious. It's too obvious. So they changed the word to employees. And we've been softening the term, you know, ever since. The reality is, the economic system of wage slavery has never changed. The system is, you go to work for a corporation, a company or corporation, your value to the corporation, let's just say, is $100 an hour. Every hour you work for the corporation is worth $100 an hour. But you're only getting paid, let's just say, $20 an hour. The difference between the 20 and the 100 is $80, and that goes to the corporation. There's nothing wrong with that, and in fact, there's everything right with that. However, why work for 20 when you can work for 100? Are you with me? And so how do you do that? You become the company owner. You start your own business. But nobody thinks like this. And meanwhile, as we go back to our discussion we were talking about last night, that the CEO is making too much money, says who? Right, says the employees. And the answer is, look, you know what? You're right. It is too much. You should be getting the $6 million. You should go out and put this whole building together. You go do, matter of fact, just quit. You should just quit and you go be your own CEO. Because isn't that an option? On the economic ladder of America, CEO is as much an option for you, particularly of your own business. Y'all know I'm a CEO? Y'all know that? Like legally, like I am listed as a CEO. I am a CEO of my own company. That's on the ladder. Employee is on the ladder. So if you can be a CEO, why not be a CEO? We don't think like this. Why? Because they never gave us these thoughts as an option. They never gave us freedom as an option. They never gave us retirement at 35 as an option. And when I say retirement, by the way, I don't mean Price is Right. Everybody get what I'm talking about? Like, I've retired from Legal Shield a couple of times. You know, like, I retired, didn't go to a meeting, didn't do a training, didn't sell a membership for years, and the company paid me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. When I say retire, I mean you don't have to do that anymore. Like, you don't have to work anymore. And what did I do when I retired from Legal Shield? I wrote 8 books. You know, I didn't have to write the 8 books, but I enjoyed writing the 8 books. When I say retire, I don't mean being idle, because you get sick and die when you do that. All right, everybody with me? Just want to drive that home. So the message should be freedom, not retirement. And the message should be when you want to, not 65. But it's going to require incredible mental gymnastics for you, mental judo for you to go against the grain of society. A friend of mine, many, many years ago when I was single and dating, before I got married, before I had kids, and was dating this woman. And her dad said, well, is he going to get a real job? Because I was doing, you know, Legal Shield. Is he going to get a real job? And those things don't have any security. And meanwhile, over the years, this guy has had 4 different jobs, laid off, had to move around. And it's just interesting how we think. He was really concerned because I didn't have corporate-sponsored health insurance. And his daughter said to him, yeah, he just buys his own. Is that an option? It's an option. But somehow you're less legitimate if you buy your own insurance. It's just weird. What is that? What is it? What is your mind? What is a mind? Is it your brain? Huh? Did you say Google it? I know we all, you know, a lot of us worship differently. I think the Bible is an interesting book for many reasons. But in the Bible, we read this one phrase that says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What might that mean? Anybody? Any biblical scholars in the room? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, sir. Okay. What does it mean to be transformed? Changed. A little bit? Transformed is like radical. That's like, wow. That's like extreme person makeover. Whoa, what happened? What happened to you? Be transformed. So if we want to in our lives experience a transformation, according to that writer's philosophy, we must what? We want, if we want transformation, we do that through what? It's in the verse. What is the verse? Anybody? By the renewing of your mind. You experience transformation via the renewal of your mind. So how many of you would like transformation in your life? Wow, three people. Anybody would like transformation in your life? In your health life, spiritual life, relational life, financial life, right? We all want some level of transformation. So how do we do that? By the renewing of your mind. That's pretty good, right? And you know what's interesting? I was in school all those years, high school for 6 years, college for five, and not one time did anybody tell me that the secret to success and ultimate transformation was the renewing of my mind. Nobody ever told me that. And I don't know that I ever heard it in church. Little side note, for those of you that teach little kids in church, pretty powerful stuff. Transformation is interesting. Most of us want transformation in some, many or all areas of our lives. So how do we do that? Through the renewing of our mind. Well, what does that mean? Brain surgery? how do we renew our minds? What do? Well, in our world, we call it personal development. Personal development. Personal. Does anybody want to describe what personal development is? Yeah, it is. It is the renewing of your mind. But what part of our mind? The front part? This part? I mean, if we're talking brain, and brain, mind is not brain, but what did you say? Okay. Ooh, we could go so deep. He's saying subconscious. Subconscious mind. Subconscious mind. We have two parts of our mind, right? We have the conscious and the subconscious. Which one is causing all of our problems? It's the sub. It's not the conscious mind. How many of you ever heard this? When I was a little kid, I don't know if I told the story last time I was here, but we had a Volkswagen bus. Y'all remember those? It was blue and white. It had a white top and blue wrapped around. And my dad and I were driving around. He had to go to the church for a minute. And so he said, son, I'm going to run in real quick. He goes, you can just stay in the car. I said, okay, cool. Well, I'm sitting in the passenger side, and I start getting bored. He's in there for more than a minute. And I find a pocket knife. And I get this pocket knife out, and I'm playing with the pocket knife and trying to think what I could do with this pocket knife. And I look over, and I see the steering wheel of this car, and it's a little gushy, you know. So I jump out of my seat, and I get my dad's seat. And I started carving the steering wheel. And little chunks of steering wheel started falling off into my lap. And I'm like, I wonder how long I can get this little piece of rubber plastic. It's like, you know, I started out with little ones like this, and then they got longer. You know, I'm trying to entertain myself. Dad's in the church. So I start getting long strips of steering wheel, right? And I got this knife. And I see my dad walk out of the church, and it's almost like I was in a trance. And I see my dad walking out, and I look down, and I've got stuff all over my lap from the steering wheel, junk, little pieces, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I'm putting it on the ground, and I jump back over into my chair. My dad gets in the car, and he puts the key in it, and he holds the steering wheel, and he looks, and it is jacked up. I mean, it's so jacked up. And he looks dumbfounded. Like, why? What? How, when, like what? And he's looking at the steering wheel, and he's looking around, and he looks down, and there's all this, you know, whatever that was. And I will never forget, I was just kind of sitting there, you know, like, I didn't want to look at it. And I could feel it. It's like a laser beam. You know, my dad's looking at me. So I look over, and it's like this face, like, betrayal, confusion, hurt, you know, like, what? And he goes, son, what did you do to my steering wheel? I said, oh, I was just, I saw your pocket knife, and I was just carving it. I was trying to see how long I could make these things. And he's looking at me like I am stupid, like I am the stupid, you know? And he said, son, why? And I said, I don't know. And he said, what do you mean you don't know? What do you mean you don't know? I don't know, Dad, I don't know. But son, you did it. I know, I remember, I did it. Why did you do it? Why did you ruin my steering wheel? I seriously don't know, Dad. I'm sorry. I don't know why. Son, that's not satisfactory. You did it. You got the pocket knife and you carved my steering wheel. Why? I don't know. See? My subconscious did it. I didn't say that. Either. I was in a trance. Dad, my subconscious mind took over. How many of you do things all the time that you already know you should not do? Show of hands. That's what I mean. You think you're driving the ship, you're not. It's the subconscious mind. How many of you are utterly convinced that there are things you should be doing every day and you know already at an emotional, psychological level, you already know and you've known for decades or for years that if you would do these things, your life would be better. But you're not doing them. Say, I. That's what I mean. And see, as you begin to study personal development, you realize that as a child, in your mind, you had no filter. You had no filter at all. See, now if somebody says to you, the sky's actually not, well, that's a bad example. You know, let's say someone says to you, this chair is actually green. See, with a filter, we can go at a conscious level, it's not green. That's more of a, what, maroon, burgundy, red-ish color. But it's certainly one thing we can agree on is it's not, what, green. We have a filter. See, children, if you raise your child and there's no other outside influence, you can tell your child that that chair is green and that child will know nothing else other than this chair is green. Yes? Because there's no filter. By the way, here's a good note for parents and grandparents. Your children, your small children, will believe everything that you tell them. So why not start telling them what you want them to believe? They'll believe it all. Like Santa Claus, they believe it all. The Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, they believe it all. So why not tell them what you want them to believe instead of some nonsensical, you know, the chair is green. The chair is green. That's not true. So we had no filter. So as a little child, whatever was happening on the television and the radio and the fights between the parents, whatever was going on in the environment where you were a child, if there was love and nurturing and support and respect and all of those things, well then your subconscious mind has been pretty well programmed for those things. However, if there were some mind viruses planted, some falsehoods, some untruths, those things went into your mind too and are affecting you at a subconscious level. So whatever was going on, the chair is green, dropped right into your subconscious mind as a child. And we don't know what got dropped into our minds as a child because we don't have access to it. And yet, it affects every single day of our life. And if what was going on was good, well then congratulations. If what was going on was not good, it's affecting us all day, every day. And we can't uproot it. Are y'all with me? We can't go and dig that weed out and stop it from affecting our lives. All we can do is renew our minds. All we can do is work on personal development and try to get some new stuff. But here's the challenge, y'all. When you've lived a life of mediocrity and some person or book or audio shows up into your life that says, you can be rich, you can do it. It's like, oh, I want to be, but we have that filter that says, no, you can't. You never had nothing your whole life. That filter. See, kids, you tell a kid, you know, you're going to be rich, you know, or you're going to be happy or you're going to be healthy. It drops, small children, drops right into their subconscious mind. And it affects them all their lives. I'm always trying to drop little things. Now my kids are getting older, but my youngest is 7. Such a cute story. I reposted this on Facebook recently. But my daughter was asking me, this is a couple years ago, my daughter was asking me if the tooth fairy was real. And I said, well, have you ever seen the tooth fairy? You know? And she's like, well, no, but I've gotten money from the tooth fairy. And I said, are you sure it was the tooth fairy? Or was it someone maybe dressing up like the tooth fairy? Well, I don't know. You know, so we're having this discussion. Well, I all but told her the tooth fairy is not real. Do we have any kids in the room? Hopefully not. I all but told her. You know, I all but told her. I mean, it reminds me, and I'll come back to the tooth fairy story in a minute, but it all reminds me of my son. My son was too old to still believe in Santa. Like, way too old. He's my oldest son. And so his mom and I were talking, and we're like, we got to tell him, like, he's going to get beat up at school, you know? Like he's too old, you know? So we bring him and sit him down at the kitchen table, and we're like, hey, we wanted to talk to you about Santa Claus, you know? Have you ever wondered how Santa goes to billions of houses in one night? And he said, he's Santa. Like, that's a good point. But how does he do it? Like, how does he do it, like, time-wise? I mean, think about it. You got to get in your little, you know, sleigh and get the reindeer, and we got to go to the next house, and you got to climb up and go down the chimney and do the gifts and get out of the chimney and get back in your sleigh and go to the next house a billion times. And he said, he's magic. We're like, wow, this kid's in deep. You know, like, wow, we ruined him. You know, like, oh, my gosh. Okay. What about houses that don't have chimneys? And his answer for everything was magic. And so we're like, you know, run along, son. You know, like, conversation's over. Well, my daughter was a believer in the same way, and she's like, you know, she really, really, really believed. I tried to tell her it's not real, gave her all the reasoning, but she was hanging on. And that's whatever, that's fine. Well, then the next day she comes home and she tells me how she had a spat with a friend at school because he said that a leprechaun that was kind of like the tooth fairy came into his house while he was sleeping and gave him, oh, I can't remember the number, but anyway, gold, pieces of gold, and a lot of candy. And she said, he is lying, Dad. And I said, why is he lying? And I'm like, finally, she's catching up, right? She's catching on. She said, he's lying. And I said, why is he lying? I go, kids like money and candy. And she said, no leprechaun would give a kid candy because candy's not good for you. Isn't that fantastic? It's just fantastic. Like, she missed the whole leprechaun part, you know, and jumped to the nutrition seminar. You know, like, it was so awesome. Oh. But see, that's the power. She has been, societally, our children have been enculturated and indoctrinated. And they got it when they're babies. I mean, we can get our kids to do anything we want. We can get them to believe anything we want. All we've got to do is tell them when they're little. And if society backs us up, if culture backs us up, man, we've got a kid under mind control. Some serious mind control. Everybody with me? Too weird? We okay? Not too weird? All right, just keeping it real. So we're not going to get into the subconscious mind other than to say that will be one of the most important studies of your life. And I challenge you all to make a study of the power of the subconscious mind and how it's affecting you every single day of your life. Okay? And I'll give you one example, and then we're going to dive deep into this. Husband, very successful, incredible career, wonderful wife, children, the house, the trappings of success. Everybody looked up to this guy. Amazing guy. And he was an incredibly high earner. But he squandered all the money. And sometimes he would get these massive checks, payouts from investments or his company, and he would squander them just as quickly as they came in. Well, over the years, his wife now has observed a pattern. And she thinks, okay, there's a problem here with this husband of mine. Because we make way too much money to have none. We make way too much money to always be, you know, to struggling at the end of the month. So she raises his awareness to it, talks to him. He's like, I don't know. Well, he keeps sabotaging himself. He keeps squandering all of this cash flow that comes into his life. Finally, now they're having marital problems, and she lovingly suggests that he get some serious counseling. So he gets some serious counseling, which was failing and failing and failing, and he winds up with a hypnotherapist, with a very, very successful hypnotherapist, and through hypnosis was able to recall a memory of his mother erratically and emotionally talking about how rich people are terrible. They're bad people. Rich people are bad. And through this therapeutic experience, he came to find out that the reason he was squandering the money was so that he never got rich, because he didn't want to lose the love of his sweet mother. Everybody get that? That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. We're talking about deep-seated, affect you all your life. And when somebody says, why did you carve my steering wheel? We say what? Why are you spending all the money? Huh? Why did you do that? Huh? How many of y'all done that to your kids? Why'd you do this? And they're going, what'd they say? All right. So even without a study of the subconscious mind, we can begin to affect it. So let's talk about how to do that. We live in America, yes? Can we pretty much do whatever we want that's legal, honest, and ethical? Yes, even if it's not ethical. We can do pretty much whatever we want in this country. And there are people that even commit crimes for long periods of time, and they don't get caught. Kind of do whatever you want. In this country, we have the media. Powerful force? Yes. The ruling class controls the media, or the commoner? Ruling class, right? The elite, the wealthy, 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 wealthy. Do they have a pretty loud megaphone? Right? So the media is pretty powerful. And then we've got music. Right? That could be included in media, TV. We got the government. Does the government have a pretty loud voice? Do a lot of people still give credence to what the government says? Yes? Okay. Big megaphone? Yep. Big pharma? When I say big pharma, what does that mean? Okay, the pharmaceutical industry. Big industry? Profitable? Controlled by the ruling class? Big megaphone? Okay. Who else controls the narrative of our lives? Okay, schools. We're going to put that under the government, okay? But we'll add this. Schools, big megaphone for all of our kids. Okay, newspapers. Can we put that under media? Put that under media. Papers. Okay, news, online, offline. Okay, that's good. Religious leaders. Religion. Okay, we'll put all that social media is all going to go here. Okay. Yeah, friends. Okay. Friends can certainly affect us, but they don't control the narrative. Would y'all agree with that? Friends can have an influence on us. Who controls the narrative? If you're raised in a religion, that kind of controls the narrative of your religious life. Yes? Everybody on the same page? You know, you go to a public school, that kind of created the narrative for your life. Yes, go to school, get good grades, get a good, right? That's where we got that. We got that from our parents. Our parents got that from, you know, the government, the media. Okay, loud megaphones. Now, we've all heard this. By their fruits you shall know them. So, let's evaluate the fruits of the entities in our society which have the loudest megaphones. Let's evaluate the fruits of the entities in our society that created and control the narratives of our lives, okay? So, as we look at each areas of our lives, let's look at our health. How are we doing in this country collectively when it comes to health? Not good. We are among the fattest people in the world. We are among the sickest people in all of advanced societies. So that tells me that the people that are controlling the narrative and the megaphone, the people that are telling us how to be healthy, their fruit is not good. How do we know that? Because we're evaluating the fruits, right? The fruit's not good. And if the fruit's not good, then the, you know, source is probably not good. So let's look at our finances. How are we doing collectively in this country financially, as an individual in this country? How are we doing? Not good. And people go, well, it's because Trump's the president. How are we doing under Obama? Not good. And under the Bushes and the Clintons? Not good. Our good has nothing to do with who lives on Pennsylvania Avenue. No, it has nothing to do with who the president is. Because even in a financial downturn, is it possible to be in a personal uptick? Yes. It doesn't matter what's going on, you know, in society or in the White House. Financially, we're not doing good. Our health isn't good. How many of our marriages end up in divorce? Okay, we're about in the middle, 50%. So whoever's giving us this idea of love and romance messed up. The fruit's not good, which means the source is bad. Everybody with me? So we got health, we got finance, we got relationship. What percentage of our country are truly free? free in mind, free in money, free in time, free in health. It is a very, very small percentage. Somebody said 2%. But let's now look at that 2%. Let's look at their health. Let's look at their relationships. Let's look at their heart. Let's look at their spirituality. Are they loving? Are they kind? The success, in my mind, money is the last thing on the list. Everybody with me? Like, a lot of people go, oh, yeah, he's so successful. And they say that because he makes $19 million a year. To me, that's not successful. That's rich. You dig? So relationships and then freedom. Almost nobody has freedom in our country. We talk about it. We give it lip service, but people aren't free. And why is that? Because the source is bad. The fruit of our lives. Now, this isn't I don't want this to be a total down message, and I am going to turn the corner a second. But the reality is, the reason we're in this room today is because the fruit is bad. Everybody with me? We're here in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s because the plan that they give us led us here. Because the road that they put us on didn't work for us. Everybody with me? Okay, so what we need to do now is we need to stop listening to them. Because they're the ones that put us on the path to oblivion. So who do you start listening to then? You've got to be conscious about that. You've got to decide who is worthy to enter the temple of your own mind. Who's worthy to walk through that door? Who are you going to let rearrange the furniture of your mind? Who are you going to allow to partner with you to create a new narrative for your future? You should think carefully about that. But some of my favorites are, you know, in the personal development genre. Now, I have my spiritual mentors and gurus and my, you know, but that's all personal development. Personal development is all inclusive. It's all inclusive. So let's talk about it. We don't have right now in our lives the results that we want, the lifestyle. Most of us don't have the lifestyle that we want. Even if we have money, maybe we don't have freedom, we don't have romance, we don't have spirituality, we don't have some part of our lives. So wouldn't you all agree that if you don't have the lifestyle that you want in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, is it sensible to ask yourself why? Have you ever? And did you ask yourself why, or did you blame somebody? Maybe both, right? Now, we can't blame, so let's scratch that off our list. Somebody says, well, my husband left and took all the money. Well, that sounds like blame to me. Well, my wife left, took all the money. Well, that sounds like blame. Well, the reason why I'm unhealthy is because of that whole food pyramid. You know, that sounds like blame. And that's what I'm saying. See, if you keep listening past today, well, you're complicit. And you cannot blame, you shouldn't blame anybody anyway, but you definitely can't blame because now it's okay. If you still continue to listen to these people, even though the fruit is bad, that's your choice and you've got to deal with those results. So we don't have the lifestyle. We've got to ask ourselves the question why. Anybody know why? You know why at 70 we don't have the lifestyle? Most Americans don't have a lifestyle at 60 or 70 or 80 years old. And by the way, what is the lifestyle? It's time, it's money, it's romance, it's spirituality, it's health, it's freedom. Okay? They didn't think it was possible. Why didn't they think it was possible? Because of who they're listening to. Nobody's thinking about lifestyle because lifestyle ain't taught in school. Freedom's not taught in school. Jobs are taught in school. Retirement is taught in school. Shh. Sit down, shut up, get in a single file line, do as you're told, don't talk back. That's taught in school. Teaching us to be obedient. That's taught in school. Freedom, lifestyle. Free thinking, do what you want, come and go, be your own master. It's never taught in school. That's why we don't have the lifestyle. You know, that's kind of the foundational reason. But the next step, that there's, let's do it one step at a time and we'll get to the foundation. The real reason is because we're not getting the results. Like, would you agree that if you're getting all the results that you wanted in your life, that you would have the ultimate lifestyle? Yes or no? Yes. If you're getting all the results that you wanted in your life, you could have the lifestyle, but you're not getting the results. The question now becomes, why? Why aren't you getting all the results? And y'all, this is not rocket science. This is common sense. You're not getting the results because you're not taking the actions. You're not doing the work. How many of you in a Legal Shield context or health or any other area of your life, how many of you know there's things you should be doing every day, but not? We asked that earlier. Okay, so you're not doing the actions. That's why you're not getting the results, which is why you don't have the lifestyle at whatever age you are. But the question now becomes, why am I not doing the actions? I'm 46. Why am I not taking all these? I know I should take them. I know they're good for me. I know it'll bless my life. What's wrong with me? Why am I not taking the actions? Good question. And it comes down to your beliefs. Comes down to your philosophy. Comes down to worthiness issues. I've never been successful, so why try? Or you might try hard, but you shoot yourself in the foot to keep yourself at a certain level. Do you guys remember what a set point was? Do you remember that in like health class when we were little kids? Set point. Can you describe it or give me an idea what it is? Okay, good. So let's just say, like a thermostat, for example, your weight. Okay, so your body, this is how I remember it. I've not Googled this, but I remember in high school, in health, they taught us about this idea called set point. And the set point is your body has learned to operate within a certain window. And that window is your set point. So if your weight falls below that window, the body starts doing weird things to bring your weight back up to land in this window. That's your set point. And if your weight goes above the set point, the body does weird things to bring you back down to the set point. And for me, my set point for many, many, many years was 195 pounds. It didn't matter how much food I ate. It didn't matter how long I dieted. It didn't matter what I did. It was 195 pounds for a long time. Well, I got careless about my health and about my weight, and it's that set point. The only way to change the set point is over time. You don't change your set point in a minute. So over time, the set point began to go up, 198, 200, 205, 210. And then, you know, after I had let out my suits, like as far as I could possibly, they're like, bro, you have no fabric left. You know what I mean? Like, we can't open these up. I had opened them up several times. I thought, I've got to make a change. And I started changing things. I started eating right. And my weight went from 225, which was incredible, 225, which had become a new set point for me, which is crazy, and it dropped down to 185, not a set point, just my weight. My weight went down to 185. Well, it's been many years now, and you know what's interesting? How much I weigh? 195. And this has been happening. I mean, I've been that weight for, except for this little stint up here, I've been that weight for 25 years. Set point. Now, what does that have to do with all of this? Each of us have a set point in our financial life. We have set points in our relationships. We operate within a certain window. If you were abused as a child, or you were unloved as a child, or you were ignored as a child, and you marry somebody who starts loving on you, and it shoots up here, you're going to do something in that relationship to bring it right back down here where you're used to. Where you're used to. If the relationship starts to crumble and it falls down here, it's like, whoa, you know, we're going to work on the, and before long, it's brought right back up here. Everybody with me? You guys okay? Do you need to take a break? Y'all are awfully quiet. Awfully quiet. Our beliefs are our set point. Whatever you believe about yourself, that's the window in which you operate. This is why most people have a challenge changing their financial stars. Because they've been in this struggle window for so long. Just enough at the end of the month, or maybe not quite enough, for so long that if the money does start coming in, it's like, too much money. You're out of your little comfort zone. Bring that money back down. When the money falls below what you're used to, it's like, got to bring the money back up. And we just stay in this little place for most of our life. And what keeps us there, again, is our beliefs. And we've seen it. Those of us been around a while. I can't tell you how many people I've seen start in Legal Shield that have never earned $100,000 in their life, that work through their hard work and dedication and faith and personal development and everything else, they get to $100,000 and never make $100,000 again. Or maybe they hit it the next year, but not the next. I mean, there's a lot of people that have done that, that we've seen that happen to. And why is that? Because their income shot past their belief about themselves. They didn't believe they were worthy of $100,000. They believed they could make it. They didn't believe they could keep it. You see how this works? So now the question is, where did our beliefs come from? How did we get those beliefs? Like, the secret to success is hard work. That's a belief. That's a philosophy. Is it true? Okay, depends on who you talk to. You can't teach an old dog. Is that true? No. What if you believe it? It's true. You see how that works? It's a lie. You can teach old dogs and humans new tricks. That's the truth. However, it's our beliefs that are affecting our lifestyle or the lack thereof. If you believe that you can't teach yourself a new trick, that is your truth, even though it's not true to anybody else in the world. So we can incarcerate ourselves, put ourselves in bondage by the things that we believe. And if we're going to change those beliefs, we have to figure out how we got those beliefs. How do we get those beliefs in the first place? And the answer is, and I'm not going to spell it out, but it's what I call the three E's. And those three E's are environment, education, and experience. Environment, education, and experience. We got all of our beliefs, our philosophies, our worldview. We got the narrative of our lives from our experience, our education, and our environment. And what is our experience, our education environment? In large part, it's this stuff. Music going all the time, TV going all the time, social media going all the time, government in your ear all the time, teachers in your ear all the time, all the time, all the time. Three E's, education, experience, and environment. So if we want to change all of this, we want to change our beliefs, how do we do that? Anybody? And by the way, now we're getting to the renewing of your mind. That's environment. Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Associations affect us, but they don't declare our narrative. Are you with me? Associations affect us, but they don't declare our life's journey. That happens through mass enculturation. That happens through the machinery over here. Now, but your point is valid, though, because what are those three things? Education, experience, and environment. Our associations lend, into all of those things, our education, our experience, and our environment. So that's what creates our beliefs. How do we change our beliefs? Say it again, George. Got to change the three E's. Not rocket science. We're done at 2. You know what? We're not going to take a break, but some of y'all are looking sleepy. I'm going to have you stand up real quick. Just take a break. It's a little warm in here. Is it warm or is that me? Feels warm to me. Little bit of music, you guys. I want everybody to stand up. You don't have to. I'm not going to make you dance or massage your neighbor. I just want you to stretch for just a second. and we're going to round third. A little bit of music maestro. That sounds like you're going to put us into a hypnotic trance. What is that music? Something with a beat. Didn't that sound like we're all getting ready to go under a trance, right? Yeah, yoga music. Everybody okay? If you're okay, say I'm okay. That was not convincing. If you're okay, say I'm okay. All right. Okay, let's go. We still, that was not a break. That was a stretch. We're back in it. Okay. As we get going, what are some of the beliefs that you were raised with? Anybody? Let's share. Sharing is caring. Yes, ma'am. We're broke. Oh, yeah. Awareness, yes. Yep. Yes, very good. And that is today's exercise, twofold. Number one, raise awareness. Number two, cause you to think. I don't need you to agree, but I do pray that you think. I pray that I cause you pause, that you contemplate these things, agree or disagree, and if that occurs, then we all win. So thank you for sharing that. Jim Rohn, I love this story. Jim Rohn, who's a mentor to many of us, the late Jim Rohn, motivator, not the sports guy, the motivator, the author, that guy, because there's a Jim Rohn, right, sports guy? Jim, it's Rome? Rome, okay, Rome. I've never heard him in my whole life, but apparently he's out there. Jim Rohn was talking to his mentor, Earl Schoaf, and back in the 60s, and they were talking about, I don't know if it was a car or whatever, and Jim Rohn said to his mentor, it's too expensive, referring to this thing. And Earl Schoaf said, it's not too expensive, you just can't afford it. You see the distinction? And it's so funny because my kids will ask for something and I'll say, well, just buy it. And they're like, I can't. It's too expensive. And I'm like, first of all, bad word. You know, the whole can't thing because you can because you are a little God in embryo. That's how I teach my kids that you're raised in his image and in his likeness. You are like him. You look like him and you are like him and take it or leave it. But how I raise my kids. And I said, have other people bought that thing? And he said, yes. And I go, well, then it's not too expensive because people are buying it. What's the challenge, really? He just doesn't, at this current moment, have the right dollars that it takes to buy the thing. But that's a temporary situation. So broke, that is kind of a mantra that a lot of people can't afford it. Broke, can't afford it. Okay, anybody else want to share? Yes, ma'am. Okay, I don't know if y'all heard that. Raised on a farm, her dad said that equated success to sweat, right? And then if you're sweating, then that's success. You're working hard, that's success. It's good. I mean, there's something to that. But here's the thing. Exactly. That's kind of like if you want something done right, you gotta. Well, then how are you ever gonna have freedom? How are you ever going to be able to travel, you know, be a missionary, be a student, be a philanthropist, be whatever it is that you want to be? How can you ever do that if everything has to be done by you? Thank you for that. Anybody else? Anything else you're raised with? Anybody else? Yes, sir. Not good enough. Isn't that incredible? I have so little patience and tolerance for parents who destroy their children. And you don't have to lay a hand on them to destroy them. Yeah, they're just clueless. One little word. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Patience is a bitter cup. Is that, who did that come from? Only the strong can drink. Where'd that come from? You just heard it growing up? Don't remember? You're quite the philosopher. It might be. I haven't heard it. What does it mean? Patience is a what? A bitter cup. So in other words, most people are not patient. Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. Rich people are conceited. As a kid, I remember my mom disrespecting and kind of ripping on, talking bad about a guy in our church. His name was Peter. And Peter would get a new Porsche every 2 years. It was a lease. It was a business expense. Every 2 years, he showed up with a new Porsche. And I remember my mom would always say, in Texas, she'd see his new Porsche and she'd say, "That ain't right. Kids are starving in Africa and he's got a new Porsche." And then as you grow up, you realize that not only did Peter get a new Porsche every 2 years, but he was sending missionaries around the world every year, cutting checks. That he sat on the board of many meaningful companies and organizations that were making a difference in the world. That at the end of the year, not only was he giving a very generous tithe to the church, but stroked a check for $40,000 at the end of every year, just in case there's more kids that want to be missionaries that he wasn't able to help in the previous year. And here we are, paupers, throwing pebbles at the castle. Peter was out tithing us, out giving us, out volunteering us, out loving us, out compassioning us. And meanwhile, we are assaulting his character because he gets a new car every 2 years. Isn't that amazing? And what did you say? You said rich people are conceited, right? I mean, that's kind of that ideology. Anybody else want to share anything you're raised with? Yes, go ahead. Hi. Okay, good. Yeah. That's good. Anybody else? My way is the only way to do something. My way or the highway? Okay. Yeah, good. So he's making a distinction between rich and wealthy. Do as I say, not as I do. I can smoke, but don't you dare. Right? Mom and daddy can get smashed on the weekend, but don't you dare. Be seen and not heard. Remember that one? Y'all remember back in the day, it was like you had the adults table for the family reunion? Maybe we still do that, but I remember the first time as a 12, 13-year-old, I sat at the adult table, and I just felt so like I had arrived, you know? Yes, go ahead. That's great. Limited by the scope of your own ambition. My dad used to liberate my mind from time to time as a kid. I remember one time I asked my dad, I go, "Dad," and I was, I don't know how old, 10, 12 years old, "do you think it's possible for us to inhabit the moon? I mean, like to live there and to have like shopping malls and stores and everything?" And he said, without any hesitation at all, he said, "Yes, I know that it's possible." And I said, "How can you be so sure?" And he said, "Because you thought of it." Isn't that good? Yes, go ahead. Labeled as shy? Yeah, nobody knows they're shy until someone says it within earshot. And then they're like, "That's what it is. I'm shy. Mama said I'm shy." You remember Dave Savola saying that? "Mama said I'm shy." You remember that? Oh, that was so funny. Yes. Huh? Do you talk too fast? That's what you used to hear? Interesting. That is very, I'm going to share an observation with you. He and I were in a car yesterday, and you are so soft-spoken. And so, I was like, while we're talking, I'm like, I can't, he was here in the car, and I'm here. I couldn't hear him. If you'll recall, I said, what was that? Excuse, what did you say? I couldn't, see how that affects us? Somebody told him, got him to believe at one point, too fast, too loud, and now it's slow and quiet. Incredible. Anybody else? Yes. No, you're fine. I'm just sure. Yeah. Yep. And we wonder why we struggle in this business, because Mama said don't talk to strangers. Right? It's like we see someone all of a sudden, that subconscious fear, kicks in and we're immobilized. So here's the point. I wasn't running hard numbers, but I'd say what we just experienced was a 75-25, 75% negative philosophy, 25% positive philosophy. And this is why our lives aren't working. See, that's what I mean. All this stuff over here. Education, experience, and environment has given us a 75% negative philosophy with a 25% positive philosophy. I didn't ask you, give me your positive philosophies you heard as a kid, or give me your negative. I just said, what did you hear when you were a kid? And what did you hear growing up? And you all told me, and most of what we heard was negative, and the smaller portion was positive. That's why this discussion of personal development and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Maybe Paul, who was writing the letter in Romans, maybe he had an idea that society might put some stuff in our head that we're going to need to either extract or overwrite or a combination of the two, and that we can transform our lives, but it's not going to be done by some other means other than going to work on our minds. So let's talk about how to do that. A couple things. Number one, these are very simple things where actually we might, maybe we'll get out of here a little bit early. Number one is reading. Reading. Now what we're talking about is how to get out of the quagmires that we find ourselves in life. Now what are some things that people say? If you say to someone, if you really want to change your life, you got to be reading great books. What might be some concerns that people express if you say that to them? Anybody ever heard one or said one yourself? Say again. Yeah, I don't have time to read. But you have time to be broke? Right? You have time to be unhealthy? And I wouldn't say this to them. I'm just saying, right? But we hear that, right? I don't have time. What else? I'm not a reader. I don't read well. That's what I said forever. How many of you in this room either are or have been in the past a person who could read a sentence, have no clue what you read, and had to go back and read it multiple times before you had an inkling of an idea of what you had just read? Anybody? Look around the room, y'all. So if you've had this struggle, you're not alone. That was a majority of the people in the room. Yes, sir.
The all type A personality.
Is what?
The all type A personality.
What is? Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's...
I did.
You did? Say again? Okay, got it. I mean, literally, I can't... Like, there was a time I felt broken. Because I'm like, that wasn't two sentences that was overwhelming me. It was just one. Just one sentence, and I have no idea what I just read. And I have to go back, and it's like, focus, Chris, focus. And it's like, okay, I got it. I know what they're saying in that sentence, next sentence. And I had to teach myself to read as an adult because I never read as a kid. I watch my kids read now, and I'm like, I never read. I literally cannot tell you the name of one book that I read from kindergarten to my third year as a senior in high school. Not one book. I never read a book from cover to cover. I don't even know if I read the first chapter of any book. Incredible. And so when I show up in this environment, and they're like, if you want to change your life, you got to read a book. And I'm like, I don't know, bro. I don't read well. I'm not a real strong reader. And then somebody shows up in your life and says, oh, you don't read well? Well, I bet I can guess your bank balance within a few hundred dollars. Zero. Oh. And then you start to realize, wow, is there a correlation here between being ignorant and broke? Maybe. If you're taking notes, here's a good one. If you can read, but you don't read, you are a volunteer illiterate. And that is the fact of the matter. And we have lost the right to complain about our lives if we don't read. Because here's what's incredible. People like Bill Gates, for example, I'm not a huge fan, but he's certainly made a lot of money. I think he kept his marriage together, right? He looks pretty good. He's lost a lot of weight in his older years. He wrote a book. $1.25 if you buy it used. Yeah, well, I think he wrote at least one. It's called The Road Ahead. He wrote it in the 90s. But what I'm saying is, some of the healthiest people in the world wrote a book. Some of the most loving, kind, compassionate people in the world wrote books. Mother Teresa has written many books. This woman that we praise but we won't study. Incredible. So reading, I love reading because it gets me out of the village. It gets me out of this environment of education experience and environment. It gets me out of that, and I get into a new one. What we're doing now is we're renewing our mind. We're changing our beliefs and our philosophies. Because in my village, they don't think like Napoleon Hill. And as a matter of fact, Napoleon Hill didn't think like Napoleon Hill thought until he met Carnegie. And Carnegie gave him the philosophy of success, and he wrote a book about it. The richest man in the world spent 3 days with a young, aspiring writer, Napoleon Hill, and gave him the philosophy of success and challenged him to spend 20 years researching the most successful people in the world and then to write a book about it. And he wrote a book about it, and most people not only have never read it, they've never heard of it. So wouldn't you want to read a book written by the man, commissioned by the richest person in the world, one of the most successful people? Yes. But again, the people that control the megaphone told us about Think and Grow Rich. Why didn't they tell us about Think and Grow Rich? Huh? That's right. In the book, because they were wage slaves. What does a wage slave need a book about Think and Grow Rich? Why would we put that in the curriculum? We need faithful and obedient corporate workers. In the book, The Science of Getting Rich, written by Wallace Wattles in 1910, it says in the book that getting rich, there is a science of getting rich, and it is an exact science, like arithmetic. And if you follow what's written in this book, you will get rich with mathematical certainty. Where's that in our curriculum? I mean, it was written in 1910. You think none of them have ever heard of it? I mean, you know, they tell us about math. I mean, speaking of math, why don't we get the science of getting rich up in here? Because if we follow the principles in the book, we'll get wealthy or rich with mathematical certainty. Pretty incredible. The books are out there. You can probably get that book for a quarter at a used bookstore, 99 cents on a mobile app. Yes. Atlas Shrugged was a required reading. That is remarkable. Yeah. Atlas Shrugged was, there are very few books that I can point to that shifted my life in a radical way, and Atlas Shrugged is one of those books. I didn't know who I was, you know, in many ways. I didn't know what I stood for. And in this world of politics, you know, it's become so divisive these days. But I think it's important to know who are you really? Like, what are your principles? What do you stand for? And I didn't really know when it came to many of these political conversations and even financial conversations. And Atlas Shrugged really helped me with that. Okay, so reading. We're going to read. And how often should we be reading, y'all? Yeah, I mean, I was told 10 pages. Is 10 pages easy to do? How many of you go to the bathroom at least once a day? Take a book. Okay, take a book. And I'll tell you one of the biggest threats to reading right now is our smartphones. The biggest threat in our world when it comes to renewing our mind. Now, it is a conduit to help us renew our minds, but we don't typically do that. Most people will not read when they go to the bathroom. Yeah, they have their smartphone. Yeah, Facebook, Candy Crush, whatever. So reading 10 pages a day, is it easy to do? Well, if you want to renew your education, experience, and environment, if you want to renew your life, renew your mind, yes, sir. Oh, I love that. That gives me chills. Well, do y'all know Frank Acoin? Frank Acoin, who's a multimillionaire inside and outside of Legal Shield, one of my great friends and mentors. Frank Acoin spends about 6 hours a day in study. Yeah. But now, see, the people that control the narrative, they made study so miserable for us that when you hear study, it's like a PTSD response. Right? It's like reading, study, it takes us back to college days. No, study stuff that he wants to study. Study stuff that, just inflares his spirit, gets him so excited. He studies things that are relevant and mattering and immediately affect his life and the life of his wife and his kids and his grandkids. Study, it's like this wonderful thing now. So thank you for that comment. And you know what? It was Bill Gates, speaking of Bill Gates, who said, I attribute all of my success to the fact that I have been reading the autobiographies and biographies of successful men and women since I was a small boy. He attributes all of his success to the reading of autobiographies and biographies since he was a little kid. So is there a clue there? Yes, and if you don't read well, what is the answer? Get over it. Yes, get help. Get therapy if you need to. Go online, look and get their tools everywhere. Excellent. Find the help that you need. Reading 10 pages a day. How do you eat an elephant, by the way? I don't know that we should be doing that, but if we were, one bite at a time. A lot of times people look at a book like Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged is like that big. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to finish that book? 10 pages a day. Just like you finish every book. The challenge is, if you don't establish a benchmark, and mine and ours, some of us have been around a long time, it's always been 10 pages. The challenge is, if you just say, well, I'm going to read every day. You know, if you could just read a word and you can check off your goal. I read one word, check off your goal. 10 pages allows you to make measurable progress in a meaningful, in a fairly short period of time. So 10 pages is good. And this will change your life. You know what's crazy? You don't have to do this for your whole life to see a change. If you've never read and you get the right book and you read 10 pages a day for about 3 or 4 days, you're vibrating. You're on a whole different frequency. You can start to feel change. And I'll never forget, I said to somebody I really looked up to years ago after I'd read my first personal development book, maybe my second, and I said to him, I was talking about how I loved it, and I'm reading these books, and I can't wait to read the next one. And he said, those books were written to make money, something I'm paraphrasing. Those books, those people wrote those books to make money off of stupid people like you. Now, this was someone I looked up to and admired. Something that didn't almost crush my everything. And I remember feeling defeated and like withering, like like a flower, and realizing I'm in a critical moment right now because he just took away the only lifeline that I've had in many, 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 many years. I had failed, and somebody introduced me to personal development, and now I have this bright light in my life. I've got God, and I've got this personal development, and I'm reading it, and it's making me feel so good. And when I finished the book, it was like, oh my gosh, I haven't had an accomplishment like that in how many years. That felt so wonderful. I can't wait to read this next book. And then I'm bragging about the experience that I'm having to this person that I love. And this person that I love says that I'm stupid for reading these books. And what I said back, and I'm so glad that I had this within me, I wanted to fight. I wanted to tell him that he was wrong. But I just said, you might be right, but I like the way that it makes me feel. Right? And that was the best I could do to defend my position and defend myself. And I went on and continued to read and now out-earn and out-live and out-lifestyle that individual a multiplicity of times. And I was the broke guy in the ghetto back then that he thought was stupid because I was reading books to renew my mind. Isn't that incredible? It really is incredible. So reading, number two, is listening to audios. Now, I want to address audiobooks for just a second. If you can't read, and it's going to take you a while to learn to read, then listen to audiobooks. If you're busy, listen to audiobooks. However, I'm going to give you a caution. It's my own personal opinion. Take it or leave it. Reading a book that you hold in your hand, that you feel the texture of the paper and the cover, and the highlighter and the pencil in your hand is a completely different experience than listening to an audiobook. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's a completely different experience. And I like to listen to at least a book a week, you know, on audio, try to finish at least four books a month, but I'm always trying to read something in paper because it's a different experience. And I don't want that part of my brain to go soft. It's a whole different experience. All right, reading. Listening to audios. Love it. Yep. Excellent. Thanks for sharing that. And whatever tools, whatever we have to do, whatever crutch, temporary bandage, bridge to take us from where we are to where we want to be. Okay, Superman. In the movie Superman, any Superman fans in the room? In Superman, what was the name? Their Krypton? Was that the name of their... there was Kryptonite, but it was from what? Krypton. Okay? Krypton was about to explode, and... what was Superman's dad's name? Jor-El. Jor-El, and his wife's name? His mom's name? Did she have a name in the movie? No? She did. I can't remember. Okay, anyway. Superman's parents knew that they and their planet was going to explode and die. But they made this little... ship, thank you. They made this little ship, and they put baby Superman in this little ship, like a capsule almost. And it takes off for Earth. It's a pretty long trip, because you remember he grew and grew and grew and grew in this capsule. Does anybody remember what was playing inside the capsule through the speakers? It was his father's voice. It was his father teaching him everything, literally everything. And I thought to myself one day, wouldn't it be amazing if all of us had super dads or super moms who would make for us a soundtrack for our life, you know, who would make for us this incredible instruction that we can listen to in the commutes of our life. Well, Mom and Dad didn't do that for us, but there are people that have recorded everything, the history, how to make it financially, health, love, everything. It's recorded. And we should be listening to these audios every day. Now, I was told, and many of you were probably as well, and you can pick your poison, but I was told 15 minutes a day. And for me, like, that's just enough to annoy me. You know, like once I turn my audio on, like I like it on. It's especially if it's someone that I'm really digging on, like a Jim Rohn. So what I've always done is I've done, and we don't have CDs anymore, but I've done at least one CD a day. Now, how long is the average CD? Anybody know? It's about 45 minutes. It's about 45 minutes. Depends on the CD. But you can definitely put 45 minutes of audio on a 700 megabyte CD. So how long do y'all commute? Y'all tell me. You're on the road. What's your commute round trip? Anybody? How long? Hour and a half, hour and 15. Anybody else? Hour, 30 minutes. I mean, there's your personal development time. You don't have to add anything to it. You know, it's not like this takes time. Like she was saying that some people will say, well, I don't read because I don't, what, have time. Well, listening to audios adds no time to your calendar. For years, what I did, literally, without exaggeration, from zero to six figures a year in Legal Shield, as soon as I woke up every morning, I went in, I had a waterproof CD player I got at Walmart, and it hung in my shower, and it had Jim Rohn playing. And every single morning until I was making $100,000 a year in Legal Shield, I would push play, and I would have that CD listened to by the time I was dressed, right? Shower, doing the thing, shave, getting dressed, all of that. Now the CD's over, and I haven't even left my bedroom yet. What an incredible way to start your day. So listening. Number three is seminars. Are we in a seminar right now? Yeah. I'm going to give you guys all a challenge. I want you to look for seminars outside of Legal Shield. And I don't mean another company like Legal Shield. I mean like a Robert Kiyosaki seminar. You know, and I'll give you an example, like Jim Rohn. I've been to, I don't know how many Jim Rohn seminars back when he was alive. And seminars, I don't know how much money I've spent on seminars over the years, but it's a little maddening these days to go to YouTube and see that exact same seminar that I spent $1,999 to attend is on YouTube for free. And you can even see me sitting on the front row in that video at that seminar. Pretty crazy stuff. But let me ask you a question. Do you get the same experience watching a seminar on YouTube as you would sitting in the front row at a seminar? Like you're getting maybe 3% of the effect of the experience. Maybe 5%, maybe 10%, but you're getting a small percent. I was always taught and did this, a seminar. Follow me now, y'all. Outside of Legal Shield, these are great. Every 90 days. Find a seminar outside of this environment to attend every 90 days. You know what's cool about a lot of these seminars? A lot of these seminars that you go to are either really cheap or free because they want you in the room so that they can sell you their package. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great marketing. It's a win-win. They're allowing you incredible content, an amazing experience, and a great place to network with other people. And they give you an offer to buy their products. All right. Seminar every 90 days. Number four, associations. George, you were talking about associations a minute ago. What is that? What is associations? I mean, it's on the short list here. Yep. Okay. Have y'all heard that you become a combined total of the five people you spend the most time with? Who do you spend the most time with? Yourself. That's why it's so important that we work on ourselves, because you spend the most time with yourself as anybody. And you become a combined total of the five people you spend the most time with. And you're number one on that list. So, and what we mean is, and I like Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn says money's not everything. You know, he jokes that Zig Ziglar said, but it's up there with oxygen. Money's not everything, but it's easy to count. Money doesn't equate success, but it's easy to measure. So, you know, if you hang out with friends and, you know, one makes $40,000 a year and money is not a value. I mean, it's one of many values. One makes 60, one makes 35, you know, one makes, let's just say, 55, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and maybe you throw yourself on there, or maybe one of these are yourself. You add that up, you divide by 5, and you'll find that that's about what you make. It's close to what you're earning. This shows you, just in one area, the importance of having the right associations. We'll use the example like just cursing. If you hang out, if you don't curse, but everybody you hang out with for a long period of time curses, at some point you're going to slip. Right? If you don't do drugs, but everybody around you that you hang out with long term does drugs, you're going to slip. Same thing with anything, right? If you're broke and you hang out with a bunch of wealthy people, at some point, you're going to slip, right? You might find yourself earning more income. Yeah, slip up. That's good. Slip up. Associations. But, y'all, there's another part of associations. Associations, in my mind, is the positive part. You know, they're the ones we want to be with. Then there's this word called disassociate. You want to disassociate with those people that are harmful, toxic, caustic, unloving, unsupportive. I did a seminar like this with Kim Milia. Y'all know Kim Milia? She's one of our top millionaires in the company. Kim and I did a seminar, and I did basically the same seminar, except I spent a lot of time on this, on associations and disassociations. And I talked about how, and I asked the audience, how many of you know somebody that you could do 9 things right and 1 thing wrong? And there are people in our world that won't even acknowledge the 9. They only want to talk about the 1. Anybody in this room? Show of hands. Okay. These are the people we need to disassociate from because they are toxic in your world and in your life and in your goals and in your ambition and in your health and in your mental health and in your everything. We've got to dissociate from those people. So I'm talking about this. Well, then at the end of the seminar, there was hundreds of people in this room, and I wanted to say goodbye and hello and meet a lot of the people that I hadn't yet had an opportunity to meet. And this woman walks up to me, and she has a piece of paper in her hand. It's folded up, and it says Chris on the outside. And she walks up to me, and she breaks through this circle. There's a circle of people. We're taking pictures and exchanging notes and business cards. And she, you know, hands me this piece of paper and does it in a very violent way. And I took it from her, like I was making sure I could have her permission to take this, whatever it was, and I took it, and it got really quiet. It was like everything was happening in slow motion because it was so weird. And then she's looking at me like she wants to hurt me, and I'm looking at her like she wants to hurt me, you know, like, I'm like, what is happening right now? Because, you know, as a speaker, anybody who speaks, like, sometimes that person comes into the room that could be injurious, you know what I mean, that is not well and could cause harm to themselves or others, and she did not look well. And so I have this piece of paper, and I didn't know what to do with it, and I saw that I could open it, and I said, do you want me to look at this now? And she goes, yes. And so everybody's watching, you know. And I open it up, you know, step backwards a little bit. And it says, Chris, look up disassociate in the dictionary. That's all it said. And so it wasn't a question. It was just a statement. And so now I'm really perplexed. So I look at her and I look at the note. She's not saying anything. And so I said, she said, well, have you? I said, have I what? Have you looked it up in the dictionary? And I'm in my head, I'm thinking, what is even happening right now? And I said, I don't know that I... No, you haven't, because it's not in there, and you said it like 6 times. In your little seminar, right? Is that amazing? And so personal development taught me how to handle situations like this. You know, I've been a student for a while, and I know I've got all these people watching me, so I've got to handle this delicately and with care and in a way that would be exemplary for all these people that are watching. And so I said to her, I said, thank you. very much for serving me in this way. I really appreciate that. I'm glad you came today." And she said, "You're welcome." And she turned around and walked away. Right? Well, then I pulled out my iPhone, and I have dictionary.com as a mobile app on the homepage. And I said, "Excuse me, everybody." And I just had to know, you know. I was like, "I got to know." And so I searched disassociate, and there it was in all of its splendid glory. And I was like, "Where's that lady?" You know, like, where did that lady go? Where's she at? But what I wanted to say to her, I would never say this, but sometimes I'm, as a coach, sometimes I'm tempted to do this. Because sometimes we need to let people feel the pain. Because unless they feel the pain, they're not quite duly motivated. But I didn't do this to her. But what I wanted to say was a couple things. Number one, you remember I was talking about that one person where you could do 9 things right and 1 thing wrong, and I was saying how you have to stay. I'm like, I was talking about you. Like the whole seminar was about you. How could you sit through a seminar where I'm talking about the importance of environment and and walk up to me in front of people, not even take me aside to correct my ignorance? But you did it in a way that just served your vanity, really, you know, and your ego. And the other thing I wanted to say to her was, things have changed. You know, like Webster is different now since 1984. You know what I mean? Like, it's different. We add words every year, yes? And here was a woman so stuck in her ways. And it's been said that arrogance and ignorance have a tendency to travel together, and that was her. Arrogant and ignorant. She couldn't wait for the seminar to get over so that she could come and correct me about something she was ignorant about. She had not even checked dictionary.com before her rebuke, just to make sure she's right. How stupid is that? Jeez. But you know what's great when these things happen to me? It's material for my seminars, you know? Seriously, I'm never like, "Oh, I'm so angry this happened." Like Dave Hall was telling me today, a vice president flew him in to talk to the people. And he comes in, and normally as we travel, someone's there, right, curbside to pick us up, and they take us to a nice hotel, maybe take us to a nice dinner. Well, he's traveled all over the country and has had all of that same treatment, and somebody, a VP who had invited him to come in, said, "Hey, where are you at? You on the ground?" "Yeah." And he said, "I'm over in the park and ride. You know, just come over here." And he had to walk like blocks to meet this guy. Now, if you're not a speaker, you'd be angry. But when that happens to us, it's like, I've got material. You know, I've got such good material for my next seminar. All right. So, and then the next thing is I'm just going to fast forward here, but you've got is application. One of the greatest missing elements to all of this is people learn. They're ever learning, never applying. That's what's so great about network marketing, is in network marketing we have an environment and a place to learn, but we also have a place to apply it. We can apply all of this stuff that we're learning and see if it doesn't work. Let me share something with you. I took all of this way more seriously, I think, than most people. And let me tell you why. I really believe that. It may or may not be true. But if I believe it, what? It's true for me. Okay. I believe I was a far more intense and focused student in doing these things. And the reason why is because I read in The Science of Getting Rich, where it talked about getting rich is you can do it with mathematical precision. And so at first I was angry when I read that because I was mad that nobody told me this until I found this book that I'd never heard of when I was in my late 20s. But then I became exhilarated because I thought, what if it's true? What if what he is telling me in this book is true? And I always wanted to be a speaker. And so I thought, what if what he's saying is true? And what if I apply these principles intensely with great passion in personal development, and I do the activities, and I work hard, and I have faith, and all this? If it's true that I can become more successful or well-to-do or better off with mathematical certainty, that means in a fairly short period of time, I will have some of the trappings of success, and more importantly, the mindset that will give me the authority to stand on a stage and share with other people. So for me, I became my own project. This was like a science project. My life became my laboratory. And I was like, I'm going to do this stuff with great intensity. And I'm going to read all the right books. And I'm going to build my Legal Shield business so that I can become a somebody, at least in Legal Shield, at least in this little world of Legal Shield, to where people will say, hey, Chris, would you come talk to our group? Would you come into our Super Saturday? Would you? You know, because I wanted to be on the speaking circuit. And I knew that I wasn't going to be on the speaking circuit as a manager. I'm like, I got to be at least an executive director to get on the speaking circuit. But beyond that, I got to make $100,000 a year so I get the ring. Left it at home. So I get the ring. And then maybe I can go bigger and make multiple six figures or maybe even make million or millions of dollars. So I hunkered down. And I was doing all of this stuff. But I wasn't just doing this stuff. I learned things when I was reading and listening and going to seminars. I learned about goal setting, right? And I learned about the process of visualization, because where there is no vision, what? And most people are perishing because they don't have a vision for their lives. They're living out the narrative given by this long list of people that we talked about earlier. I learned about these concepts of affirmation. I learned about the power of living in gratitude and thanking God for everything that I have and everything that I have not yet that I know is coming to me, because you're a good God and I'm a good human and we are a good partnership. So thank you for all that I have, and thank you for what I have all not yet that's en route to me. It's amazing and it feels wonderful and you're awesome and the best partner that I've ever had, right? I learned about not just the spiritual laws of tithing, right? I remember learning from Mark Victor Hansen, wrote a book about tithing and about the blessings that come through tithing. So as you're reading, listening, and going to seminars and associating, you're learning these other principles that are going to shape your life. I learned from the book Richest Man in Babylon, you know, to pay myself first. You know, you're as you're doing these things, you're transforming your whole life. How? By the renewal of your mind. Your life begins to change as you do this. This is the recipe for renewing your mind. We just went through it. And do you know what all of this is? It's a new education. It's a new environment. And they're new experiences. Like today, I mean, we talked about wage slavery. That's fairly unique, yes? I mean, we're having a different experience today with some different education, different information. All of this is the recipe of renewing your mind. All of this is going to reshape your three E's, your education, your experience, and your environment, which is going to give you different beliefs. And with those different beliefs, you're going to take different actions. And taking those actions, you're going to get better results. And with those better results, now you've got the lifestyle. And what is the lifestyle? Whatever you want. But it's important that you know what you want, because that's the pinnacle. That's where we're headed. That's your rudder, right? What is it that you want? This is a good one for your notes. When the prize, lifestyle, your why, your reasons, your goals, when the prize is clear, the price becomes easy. If you got no vision, you perish. You got no prize, you're not willing to pay the price. Why would I do all of this when I've got no ambition? Where am I going? I don't know. Well, then why are you doing all this? Why would you make the sacrifice? All right, last thing, and we're going to, yes, you're getting out of here a couple minutes early. If you're okay, say I'm okay. This is a short thing, actually. I got to get my phone, because I got to read this word for word. So, you know, we're all in here today thinking about our goals, our ambition, our aspiration, our desires, our wants, our wishes. But what we're not thinking about is how we're going to affect the next generation. How is this commitment that you've made today going to affect your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren? You know, I started podcasting. I'd like to invite you all to listen to it. If you have a note, write this down. It's called The Above Ground Railroad, and it's a freedom-focused personal development podcast. It's all about personal freedom in every possible way. And it's totally free. The apps are free. The audios are free. Above Ground Railroad. You can get it on Google Play or Google Podcast, Apple, everywhere, anywhere they do podcasts. It's all over the place. Okay, so thank you very much. I appreciate that. In case you didn't hear her, she said it was excellent. I'm just kidding. but you know why I'm doing that? Let me tell you why I'm doing that. People think that I'm doing it to make money, and I will make money, and people are thinking that I'm doing it for whatever reason. I'm doing it because I want to be a super dad who makes a soundtrack for my posterity. That's why I'm doing it. Because in this digital age, all this stuff will survive. And even if it doesn't, I've got hard copies. And somebody somewhere along the line is going to get to hear from Grandpa Chris. And I hope they like it. It's stuff that, you know, I've had to do a lot, made major sacrifices for, and I just like to keep it going through the Hughes family. So my daughter and I were texting the other day. She was at her mom's, and she wasn't feeling well. She said, "I didn't go to school today." I said, "You didn't? Did you have a sore throat?" Because she had mentioned it earlier. She said, "Yeah, but it's better." Now she's 7. She said, "Dad, I used my mind power." I said to myself, "I don't have a sore throat." And we have this song that we sing when they don't feel good. "I am healthy, I am healthy." And we have this joke, you know, like they say to whatever ailment they have, "No thank you, but there's a widow in Chicago who will take it."
Of course.
It's a joke. But it makes us laugh every time. I mean, it's so terrible. It's so terrible, I know. And she said, "I do not have a sore throat anymore. I love my mind. Mind, I love you." Isn't that great? See, so even if you're not at the level that you want to be in Legal Shield, even if you're not at the level that you want to be in life, as you stay dedicated to this process, a passionate pursuit of personal development, renewing of your mind, y'all, our kids are watching, and they're listening. And our grandkids are watching, and they're listening. And we all know that grandma and grandpa, if they do it right, can be far more influential in a child's life than even their own parents. If you do it right, if you understand how that works, if we understand how that works, a kind word from grandma, right? Dad says something made you feel bad about yourself. Grandma says, "Come in here," and grandma makes it all better. Says something that reverberates through your heart throughout your life, and you believe grandma more than dad because she's nicer. You know. So to me, this is what it's all about. To me, we can, you know, nice cars and houses, yes, and the freedom is right up there. But when I get these texts from my kids, and I got like 7 from my 15-year-old son of things that I have been teaching him that I didn't know that he was getting, and now he's seeing them validated on social media, things that I have taught, and now he's echoing that back to me and saying, "Wow, Dad, you were right." I mean, that's pretty incredible. So what I wish for you all today as we close this event is the desires of your heart. I mean, I didn't come to preach, but I believe the scripture. I believe that I and you may not believe it, but I hope that you would, that we were created in his image and in his likeness. And Jesus once said that we would do all that he had done and even greater. That's pretty incredible. And he asked the question once, is it not written in your law that I have said that you're gods? You know, there's another verse that talks about humans being heirs to God and joint heirs with Christ. And I know we don't all believe the same, but just let this flow through your filters. But to me, that doesn't sound average. To me, that doesn't sound like we should be crawling around on our hands and knees begging life for a morsel. To me, when I think about God and I think about our potential, I think about freedom. Think about, what does the Spirit really want? The Spirit wants autonomy. It wants sovereignty. It wants freedom. It wants ever-expansiveness. And most of us are not living that kind of life. Most of us are living a get up, go to work, come home, do it all over again the next day kind of life. And that's an okay life for a short period of time. But that's not an okay life forever. And for those of you that are interested in Scripture, I think it's interesting that we learn that the children of Israel, they were slaves. They were free, but then they were slaves. And they were slaves, does anybody know, for hundreds of years? Slaves for hundreds of years. Then one day they're not slaves anymore. And they, all of them had ambition. All of them had a goal. All of them had a dream. All of them had a location that they wanted to go to, and it was called the Promised Land. And it took them how many years to find it? It took them 40 years to find it. How long are we supposed to work? 40 years. You think that's by accident? And where was the Promised Land all the while? It was just a few days' journey. It was right around the corner. Why did it take them 40 years? Okay. We could get into the debate of why it was, right? Maybe it was preparatory. Maybe they were disobedient. Maybe they were ignorant. Maybe they didn't have the faith. I don't know. But here's what I do know. The entire time, it was right around the corner. But it took them 40 years. And my last message to you today is, this is my belief, and you get to take it or leave it, is that your personal promised land is not 40 years away. It's right around the corner. And my wish is that you find it sooner rather than later. So give yourself a hand for being here. God bless you. Y'all give a hand to Dave Hall, our host for the day.
Hold on, don't go nowhere, don't go nowhere.
All right, y'all have a great day.
Let me tell you, the wonderful thing about having Mr. Chris Hughes come to do a Super Saturday is you get a unique training that nobody else in the company ever even touches. And it's just awesome. It's in-depth. It's inspirational. And it, like he said, whether you do Legal Shield or not, what you're going to learn is going to make you a better husband, wife, mother, father, grandma, grandpa, employee at what you're currently doing temporarily until you get to the Promised Land. It's going to make you better. So we have a few things to say thank you to Mr. Hughes. Sometimes we say, hey, open it up here. Sometimes we say, just privately open this up on your way home. But I think you'll appreciate. Some of you will get it and some of you won't. Come on over here, Mr. Hughes. I'm going to pull out all this tissue paper.
I don't know if
I should be scared. Hold on.
Alarmed.
I know you like reading books for your kids.
Yes.
So we got a very special book for you to read for your kids.
Yeah! It's a bit of an inside joke. That is awesome. That is the best. It says My Q Book by Jane Belk Moncur. Very meaningful.
Yeah. And then something to go on the wall.
Yes! So Q is my favorite letter. If anybody that...
All right.
17 is my favorite number.
And then we put a nice little gas card. I know that he came down here. We didn't have to buy airfare and stuff for him because he was in Preston, and the Preston International Airport was closed. So he drove down, but we just want to make sure his tank's full plus a little bit of extra going back and stuff. And then another little something in there. We'll just leave it in there. You can just look at it. Otherwise, give it up again for Mr.
Thank
Chris
you.
Hughes.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. So now.
Oh, that's funny.
Let me move that out of the way.
And by the way, guys, I mean, month after month, we're lining up awesome, awesome. I'm so excited for our summer lineup that we have of people coming here that are just going to pour into you. And, you know, you never know when you're going to show up to an event where that trainer, that speaker just has that missing number in your combination that you're looking for. It's like knowing two out of the three numbers for the combination. But you're missing that one. All of a sudden that one person shows up and you just relate to him. You're like, I get it now. That's the missing number I needed. And it unlocks the prosperity that you have been looking for in your life. And so, boom, 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 boom. Where did we put that remote? We continue to try to find the best of the best. And I have a gentleman that, boom. Well, there he is. Actually, it's $100,000 ringer, Mr. David Montz, next month for our Super Saturday guest. By the way, though, on the tickets, they were printed back when we were at the Valley Fair Mall. So the address will say the old place because we printed 2 months in a row before we moved. It will be here. It will not be back there. We've outgrown that location. It's going to be here. But this gentleman, I don't know if you follow him on social media. I do. I have for years. And this guy is like all over the world. This guy is traveling, having so much fun. He's built a big team. He's had a ton of success in the business, and I've been a good friend with him. And by the way, we should have queued up the video, the punked video. We will show the punked video when he gets here just to embarrass him. I have a hilarious, he was one of my punked victims about 10 years ago. And went before he was even an executive director. And some of you have no clue what I'm talking about, but it was hilarious. And that's before he was a ring earner and executive director and everything else like that. But we will show that when he's here to just welcome him a little bit more. But for years I told him, I said, look, go out and get that $100,000 ring, and you will be on my list of someone that I want to get here to Utah. So next month, you guys, mark down your dates, April 13th. We have Mr. David Montz coming here to pour into you guys. And he has insisted, he's like, look, I've been watching Utah for many, many years and wishing I could get an invite because y'all go out and do fun things. And we will have a little bit of extra room. If you're in Performance Club, shoot me an email and text, say, hey, I'm interested in going out and having some fun. We'll be able to take a few extra people out to have fun, but he has insisted that when he comes here, he goes, we got to go do something fun. He's all about having fun. Now, we have the pricing up here, $20 for a ticket if you get it today for next month, two for 30. Now think about this. I mean, if you really believe that you're going to grow your business between now and next month, for $30, you get an extra ticket. You're going to recruit someone. They're going to want to get in here. I like to, for my associates for their first month, I say, hey, man, dude, I picked you up a ticket last month. Just get them here. Because sometimes, here's the thing is, your new people, your new associates, they may hear, hey, there's a training on Saturday. Why don't you come out? Oh, how much is it? Oh, it's going to be at the door. If they wait till the door, walk-up price is $25. Oh, it's $25 to get in. They may go, oh, I'm brand new. I don't know what I'm missing. So they're like, I don't want to spend $25 to go to your training. And they may not know what they're missing out on. They might not know that that training is the thing that's going to make them $1,000 the next month. So they choose to stay home. I like to make sure my new people always get in. And so when I picked up tickets last month, I went out and recruited some people this month. Some said they could make it. Some couldn't. But when I realized, man, it's the last couple days, I got a couple extra tickets. You know what I started doing? I started texting some people on my team and said, hey, just get down here. I picked up a ticket for you. Some of my new associates I recruited a couple months ago are here today simply because I sent them a text and said, hey, dude, I grabbed you a ticket. I got your ticket. Just get here. I've got your ticket for you. Some of them may or may not have come. But what you want to make sure is the maximum number of people on your team are plugged into the events every single month. So you can pick up a second ticket for literally only $10 more, or if you want to go crazy this month, we have a package, five of them, for $60. Now, another thing that comes with the five for 60 is, if you want to do any webinars this month, I will do your live webinar for you. I want you to think about this. If you're a brand new associate, you bring on a person who buys a legal plan with identity theft protection, your commission is $60. And you might be scared to death to do your own webinar. But what if you could have someone that did your webinar for you that's already made a few million dollars in this business? What if you want to do two webinars? What if you want to do one every single week? What if you want to do three or four a week? I've done dozens and dozens of webinars for people in this room and helped them grow their business and stuff. And some of you are on my team. Some of you are not on my team. And that's totally fine. I don't care whether you are or not. But if you're someone that says, hey, during the month of March, I want to get people to Dallas. I want to tear my business up. I want to really grow it. I need some help. My sponsor's not real good at helping me. I need somebody else that will pour into me. I'm going to be calling Mr. Hall every single day asking for help. If you're on that list of people that bought five, I know you're a baller. You're ready to run hard this month. Then you and I will be doing webinars and stuff together. So you just pick out which package you want and make sure and get it. Let me tell you, this last week, Deanne DeBell and Deanne Foster put on an amazing luncheon for HR directors and CEOs. And that's not been one of my, quote, huge strong suits in my business. Okay, I've been really good at the networking, but I want to learn that part of the business. And so I bought six tickets. And these weren't, hey, two for $30. Those of you that were there know they were almost $20 a piece, person. So I bought over $100 worth of tickets to go to lunch with CEOs and stuff like that. You know what happened? The morning of the event, I had a few people cancel on me. Like, these were important people that said, yeah, I can come to lunch. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't come to lunch. Here's what I did. And even a day before, I had a couple people said, let me see if I can clear out my schedule. And then they couldn't. You know what I did? I started calling associates on my team that want to do HR benefits and group marketing. I see one of them right here and stuff like that. And I know that Cammie took advantage of it. And I said, hey, listen, I got an extra ticket. I've already paid for it. You might as well be there. How many appointments do you have set up this next week with decision makers to go out on appointments? Three appointments. And guess who he's taking? He's taking Deanne DeBell. Three different. And then he just cleared with me in a text another decision maker as soon as I'm gone to Kentucky this week working out there with my team and stuff out there. So Miss Deanne DeBell is going out and helping him. Now, here's the thing is I couldn't get the decision maker there. They canceled on me. So what I do, I had somebody else fill that seat who's going out to talk with decision makers that will be over hundreds of people that will have the opportunity to pick up the benefit. So even though some people look at it and say, I bought a ticket and I didn't get someone there, I lost $20. That's a way you can look at it if you want. Or I say, I got a ticket. I couldn't get someone there. I got somebody else to fill in. Now hundreds of people will see the benefit that I'll get an override on. Could be thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. Here's the other thing that it did. It made me pick up the phone and call people that I never would have called if I didn't have $100 worth of lunches already prepaid for. I was calling people on my chicken list that I was intimidated to call. People that I got to church with for many years, I knew they owned a business, and I'd never asked them if I could come in and talk to their business. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I got to fill this ticket. Brandon, hey, dude, I need to talk to you. And all of a sudden, I'm calling people. If I didn't have that extra pressure of having those tickets, I wouldn't have picked up the phone because we like to stay in our comfort zone. But guess what? In your comfort zone is where you stay broke. You have to come out of your comfort zone and do something that feels a little bit uncomfortable to all of a sudden get someone to see the opportunity. No one's going to break in your house and steal a legal plan. You have to come out of your house and plant that seed. Well, now I have appointments over the next few weeks with decision makers that couldn't make it to the luncheon, but they said, I'd still love to talk to you about this. So even though I bought five tickets and I, on that day, didn't have a ton of success, it planted a lot of seeds for the future for me to harvest. If you say, if you leave here today and say, I'm going to see if I can come to Super Saturday next month, in all fairness, your philosophy that Mr. Hughes talked about, your philosophies up here are flawed. You say, I think I'm going to see if I can have success in the future. you'll never have success. Success is planned. And you follow that plan and you achieve success. And the reason why I tell you that is because, like I mentioned before, somebody did ask me, hey, Dave, do you want to come to Dallas? Do you want to come to convention 18 years ago? Because I didn't want to go. I didn't want to spend money. I was already broke. I already quit for 4 months. They said, you have to be there. Now, that seems a little bit brash and rude sometimes to tell someone, you got to be there. And it could offend someone. But my kids and my grandkids will grow up in an entirely different world because somebody was a little bit blunt to me. In all fairness, I want you all to have success. I want you all to be making hundreds of thousands of dollars. But you don't want to miss next month. You got to be there. Now the question is, are you coming back alone or are you coming back with the team? That's up to you. Tickets are available out at the table. Thank you all for coming out today. God bless, and we will see all of you over the top.